So good morning, everyone. I'm so glad you are here. And next hour, there will be kind of challenging hour for you. Because as you know, from your experience and time perspective, that your language has a different versions. You know, whenever you go to England, it's English, but English version. You go to America, there's American version of the English language. You go to Poland, it's a Pinglish, we say. So it's Polish English. And we speak, that would be another version of your language by me. But it will probably take you some time to understand what I'm going to come across with and to communicate. But if you feel like you don't, don't hesitate. Just say, I don't understand. Please repeat. And we are not going into the deep theological or medical subjects. I'm not in medicine, I'm not a doctor, but I'm just running this Pro-M Ministries we started 33 years ago with my wife. So my wife is here with me, and she knows much more about the ministry than I do. So if you can come to her after I've quit our talking, she would love to talk with you or give you some materials, which is already some of these materials on your table, and we have more. When we talk about the prime ministries, I would like to ask my friend and gentleman who I'm having a relation with for just about 30 years. Next January, there will be 30 years when we get to know each other. And before I will tell more, I will ask Stan Franczak just to share a few words about. Stan is the chairman of the board for Prime Support Ministries stateside.
So I'm here to kind of accelerate the understanding of what you're going to hear today, because I've been in some meetings when Maui talks about it, and you know, when you're up to your waist in these activities, the descriptions, sometimes a perspective is lost. So one of the things I'll share with you is Pro-M and their leadership staff was on a mission conference. Was it Dominican or Honduras? Where were you?
Zimbabwe.
No,
Dominican Republic.
Everything was fine. The news came that Russia had invaded Ukraine. The hard part of the mission conference was over, and it was going to be 3 or 4 days of relaxation. And when the war broke out, the entire leadership team got on a plane the next day and arrived back to Poland. Within 24 hours of Russia invading Ukraine, refugees were arriving at Pro-M's camp. They have a camp and conference facility 100 miles south of Warsaw, which is, how long does it take to drive to the Ukraine border, Mo?
5 hours to the border.
So that following day, Ukrainians were coming across the border. Pro-M was sending cars and vans to pick them up. But the perspective I want to give you, and we want to talk a little bit about Pro-M, and then we're going to talk specifically about Pro-M's role in Ukraine and mental health and what they're doing there. I went there a couple weeks later, and the picture I want to give you is that when Russia invaded Ukraine, so many cities you had to escape or you would die. And so hundreds of thousands of families were traveling as far, some by car, some by bus, some walking, to the Polish border. And it would be the father, the mother, and the children. Ukraine doesn't speak Polish. It's not the same. They're next to each other, but they don't have the same currency. They don't have the same anything. And these women and their children would then go across the border saying goodbye to their dads. And their dads weren't soldiers. Their dads were like you and I. They're dentists or accountants or salespeople or construction workers. And so these families, kids, say goodbye to their dad, who goes back to Ukraine to learn to fight. And mom and the kids go across a foreign country where they don't know anybody. In the beginning of the war, the world banking system wasn't recognizing the Ukraine currency even. So So you got your life savings in your pocket. You're in a foreign country. You don't know anybody. You don't have any money. And this is the role where Pro-Am took their entire facility and just turned it from a camp and conference center into a refugee center. So we're going to let Maui talk more about Pro-Am and how it got started, and we're going to talk more specifically about Ukraine, but I at least wanted to give you that perspective.
Thank you very much, Stan, for this introduction. And yes, talking about the Pro-Am and the beginning of that, you know, those of you who love history, there will be a very short history lesson. I grew up and was born in the communist country. Poland was a communist for over 40 years, and my family, they were evangelicals. So I have this privilege to be raised up in the evangelical home. You may say, how it is possible in the communist country? You know, the Poland was the, throughout the history, the, over 1,000 years of the history, but there was a Christianity, especially Catholicism, was very big and still is. Over 90% of the Polish people are, they, if you ask them on the street, are you Christians? They would say, of course, we are Catholic, you know. So, and so Christianity is not an alien idea, was not even under the communists. But talking about the evangelicals of that time were such a minority, and we're still is. It's just, it's only 0.1% evangelicals in the country. Of the 40 million, out of the 40 million, there is 40,000 evangelicals in the country. So I think it is one Southeast church, you know, this one makes up your, all evangelicals in the country. And then being in this tiny small church in Poland, having a godly parents and grandparents, it's a privilege. It's a great privilege and honor to be raised in a Christian home. My grandparents were born again believers as well. And they got saved during before the Great World War. In 1914. So you may say, how comes, you know, how it happened, you know, at that time? Well, I tell you, at that time, people preached the gospel like they were doing today. And, you know, my grandparents, they got saved during the evangelistic campaign. They were not the 10,000 people. There were 100 people in the one village they were there living in. And just preacher came on his bike. I guess they were having bike already in 1914, not too many cars, and preached the gospel, and my grandparents, being teenagers, they got saved. What a blessing, you know, to be raised up in the Christian home for the third generation. I believe in generational blessing. And what we are doing today, we are just the evidence, the ministry is the evidence that God is answering the prayers of parents and grandparents, and blessing those who, like Bible is saying, you know, I will bless you to the thousandth generations. And we've just experienced this. And then, you know, when I was 18, I took my decision for the Lord and decided to go for the seminary. I said, Lord, here's my life. You know, do it with something if you can. And went to the seminary, graduated from seminary, and got involved in the Christian work in 1980. So in 1980 in Poland, it was the beginning of the changes. Took us 10 years to go from the communists to the democracy. Some of you who are having gray hair like I do, remember the Lech Wałęsa and all this situation, Berlin Wall went down, and the changes took place in 1989, first free election. And immediately after this first free election, we filed up for the 501c3. There was nothing like that before. It was something new. So we were waiting for 6 months to be recognized as a non-for-profit organization called Pro-Am. And in 1990, we were granted with the permission to papers. And we were the second non-for-profit organization, Christian organization, registered in the country. So it's been 33 years ago with my wife and myself. And it just happened that this man sitting here is our son. And he is right now as with the Southeast for the 6 months. But he is with us and others for the ministry. So small beginning, in 1990 in Warsaw, camps. They were main trust or main area of focus at that time for us. First camp, 150 campers, 60 decisions for the Lord. We were so excited. We were just thinking, we need to do more. We need to do more for the kingdom, for the glory of God. Well, next year, we were just adding more and more weeks and going from one place to another one. And 30 years ago, we met Southeast people here in the States. So January next year, there will be 30 years when we first came to Southeast under the different address. And this relationship started from that time up to now, make such a difference. There are some faces here. I can see you were visiting us, like Sandy, Jane, Blake. And there was such a great time when you could come and 100 others from your church were coming to us and from other places as well. So camps is one of the area of focus for us. 33 years ago, 150 campers. Last summer, it was over 2,200 campers. And there was over 700 decisions for the Lord. There was 1,700 from Poland campers, but 300 from Ukraine. We brought them from Zhytomyr and other places in Ukraine, Lviv, and from Poland as well, because there is a lot of refugees. I'll be talking shortly about them. So we put up this camp for them. And, you know, in the history, we were receiving country. Missionaries were coming to Poland. And it was great to be connected with you, Americans, or other missionaries coming to Poland. But since a few years, we were praying and we came to this point that we said, okay, we need to do something for the nations as well. Somewhere to go somewhere and do something to others as we've been helped for so many years to do something for others. So we did a camp, for example, in Israel for the Jewish teenagers. We did a camp in Bethlehem for Palestinians, the teenagers. Camp in Ukraine, Belarus, and lately we're going to Zimbabwe. And we did have this last summer, 120 kids and Zimbabwe camp, their Christian camp in Zimbabwe. So camping is big for us. And like Stan was saying, our 23 years ago, we have our Polish country lake, if I may say like that. Those of you who knows what is country lake, is a camp. Southeast are having beautiful camp property here, and we run camps there. But January 24, we are in Dominican Republic, just praying for this meeting for the years, to go there to see what they do in the similar country to ours, with the Catholicism, with the Serve the City projects, church planting. We landed there at Wednesday. Thursday, war broke up, and Friday, all of us, 10 of us, guys, leadership, were flying back. Why? Well, you know, with that stay, our wives stay at the ministry. And we were sure they were doing great, better without us than with us. But we didn't want it to be kind of cut off not to be right there. So we decided it's important for us to go back. And when we return, as the guys, the camp was already full of the refugees. It was every bed was taken. We bought extra mattresses should we have the overflow to have a place for them to sleep. And we were ready for 200, 250 people to come just about any time. Actually, they were there when we returned. And you know, you probably heard the stories that from the beginning, so many people crossed the border. There was so many at the beginning, first two and three months, there was like 150,000 daily crossing the border to Poland. More than 6 million Ukrainians crossed the border up to now. 1.5, the people are saying, is almost 2 million Ukrainians make a settlement in Poland. They stay for, we don't know for how long, until war will be over, but they are there in Poland working or doing some kind of waiting for war to be over. So, because we were connected before with our Ukrainian partners doing the camps there, and they were coming to our sport camps and other activities like journey to Bethlehem or road to Jerusalem, they didn't even call us because we just said, come in, you know, if you need help. And they were coming, one family, pastor from Kherson, 14 of them driving with the three cars. And you know, the Kherson, you've heard often about Kherson and the war there. And he came like a third day. They started with the three cars. But on the way, one car was broken. So the 14 people, they squeezed into one, you know, five seats, to the two 5-seat cars, and they drove in. And I said to him, Oleg, where's your third? How did you come here? 14 people in two cars? He said, oh, one was broken. We just pushed it to the side, you know, and just came. We just came here just for the safety reason. Beginning of the war, you know, they expected unexpected things. They were ready. You never knew what can happen. And at the same time, Polish people, they were so open, you know, without the governmental encouragement, without the, you know, big plan, you know, this is time for Poland to help Ukraine. The homes, and what the most important for me was to see the hearts of the Polish people were so open. And we got the phone calls. We said, you know, one family called, hey, we have three rooms in apartment, but we can give one room for the refugees if we need them. Wow. This is something, you know, it's not somebody who has a three apartments in the city. No, three rooms apartment. And they were ready to take the family, of course, for the limited period of time. But they did, out of the good heart. I'm not saying they were believers or non-believers. They were just Polish people who felt this urgent, prompt, I would say, voice from heaven to help. The right way to help to those people. Stan was saying about the border, you know, the five hours border from our camp to the boundaries. Bogdan and Maya. It is a couple. You can read about them in your books about the conference. They're supposed to be here, but unfortunately. They didn't get a visa because he is an Ukrainian, and they said, well, it's not enough the reasons to be Ukrainian to get the visa. We are afraid that you may stay here in the States or something like that. Bogdan is working with us, actually working with Przemek, and Maya is a doctor, is a physician, just about to be finishing here. Maya is a Polish and he's Ukrainian, and she is a sixth-year student at the medical school. But they didn't get a visa, and they're supposed to be here and speaking and sharing. But talking about the Bogdan is skinny, tall guy, taller than I am, and way, you know, I was skinny once upon the time. But Bogdan is a great guy. And when we came from this trip to Dominican Republic, I see Bogdan tired on the face. I said, Bogdan, what's going on? Bogdan said, I'm going to the border one more time to bring the people, to drive the people with the van. We have a couple of vans in the ministry to bring the people from the border. I said, did you sleep? Did you rest? Well, he said, barely. You know, when I just waiting for them to cross the border, I'm taking the nap. First 100 hours of war, Bogdan was five times on the border, driving back and forth. Five times in the border, so 5 hours, 10 hours back and forth. I said, Bogdan, you're not going anymore because you can hurt yourself. And he looked at my eyes. He said, my friends are waiting there. My colleagues, my people from my church, they're waiting there on the border. They're waiting for me. Bogdan, we sent somebody else. I said, he promised, okay, that will be the last time, and I will return, I will sleep for the 8 hours. But Bogdan shows the love and determination to help. Yes, he is in Ukraine, but working with us. But at the same time, there was dozens of our cars going back and forth and bringing people from the border to our place. Actually, you know, there was a big need at the beginning of war of transportations because everything was shut down. So the biggest need at this beginning of this the first stage of the war is to bring people from the war zone to the western part of the Ukraine. So with the help, like you are another Christian people, we have been able to purchase 12 vans and send these vans gift just to give for them to get the people out from the war area. And because you know how it is with the war. War is for one people is a disaster, but for some people is a good way to make money. And unfortunately, there were some people who were driving people out from the war zone, were charging big money, like $100 per person to drive 400 miles out from the war. So we said, it's not going to be like that. We just get some of the money together and help them to get the vehicles. And then Polish people, you know, our camp became like a big warehouse for the donations as well. Clothes, food, semis were coming with the food from the different companies and just unloading, and we were just loading again and sending to Ukraine. It was so nice to see because, like, let's say in the morning, you know, 2 weeks after the war broke up, we place on the Facebook announcement, tonight we will need diapers and milk, baby formula and something else, because we had enough clothes and everything at the beginning. So evening time, there was a line of cars coming to the camp with the baby formula, diapers, and whatever we needed, and just giving this out to us, and that we could give this to the people. Then you know, we said, I told you that some of the people who came to us, they said, "Oh, how long can we stay at your camp?" I said, "Well, you know what? It's the right time right now just to find a place. We'll help you in Germany or in Holland or Switzerland and other places, or in Poland. And just for work or for next month's life." And they say, "Can we be here at the camp and wait to the end, to the end of the war?" Well, we said, "You know what? You know, you can stay as long as the need will be, but doesn't look good. And our camp just serve as a camp for the campers during the summertime." So we open up the registration for the camps in March 15, and sold out 2,000, you know, the places for the camps for 10 weeks of the camping. And just praying what we'll be doing. And over 1,000 people, Ukrainians, refugees, came through our camp, which on the map was called Prem Camp and Conference Center. Just a couple weeks after that, Google, on their map, they changed it for Prem Refugees Camp, without our intervention, just they changed it like that. So it was encouragement to see what they've done. So people were coming, and we were just sending them to the different places, encouraging. But first, the first couple of weeks, men and wife and children could go. But then situation has changed. If you didn't have 3 kids, for guys it was not allowed to cross the border and stay in Poland. So mainly we were having grandma, daughter, and grandchildren at the camp. And we're just helping them, you know, to find a place in the different countries. And we said, "Oh, tomorrow we'll be bused to Germany. We have the city of Augsburg or Munich, and they're ready for you." But they were coming to us, say, "Where should I go?" Well, we said, "You know, go to Holland. I don't know nothing about that. I don't know language. I don't know. How can I decide what to do? My man, my husband, is far away. And, if, you know, if you go farther to the east, the role of the guys is bigger than the west. You know, for ladies, it was so hard to decide." And they were coming to us to help them to decide where to go. It was not easy talks, I tell you. You know, when you sit to somebody who has two children or three children and sitting and asking us where to go, to Germany or to Switzerland, to Finland or to Austria. I mean, it was heavy on us, but can you imagine how heavy it was on them at that time to do something and to make a decision where to go? One family, foster family from Kherson. Father, mom, two children, and six foster kids. So 10 together. We came, beautiful family, and they were waiting for a visa to Canada. Meanwhile, it was three cars from Germany, from a small city not far from Augsburg, where Martin, you know, the Luther started the Reformation. Mayor of the city with another friends came. And they brought some goods, you know, and unloaded. And he said, we're going back. But what we've seen, maybe we can help some of the Ukrainians to come our way. I said, that'd be great. Do you have a shelter for them? He said, today we don't, but in maybe in the 3-4 weeks we will have. I said, what do you mean? Well, there's a house. We can renovate this house. And I'll let you know when the house will be renovated. And I'll let you know for how many people it is suitable. It's a good one. Well, 4 weeks passed by, and he is calling me, actually. He said, give me 2 more days, and there will be house ready for a family from the Ukraine. I said, okay, well, send me some pictures. How big is this house? Oh, it's a ground floor, and the second floor, it is suitable for 10 persons. You hear that, right? Foster family, mom, dad, and 10 kids all together. Well, just to shorten the story, they're ready to go, and day before they go, they come. Moment and picture. Day before they come, and before the departure, we just took a couple vans, and our guys drove them there to Germany. They came to us to our office, and they gave me this picture. You know, you've seen thousands of pictures from war. You've seen them many, and they're so moving. And we'll show you later on some of the other pictures. But this one is worth for me a million. You see everything here. On this picture, you see everything. You see the missiles?
Who drew the picture?
This family, the children of this foster family, they paint this picture, and it brought... And to say goodbye, kiss us goodbye, and leave this as a memory of their time. You know, from the Galevin family. You see this is written here. And over there, thank you for all you do for us. And I will bless you. You know, the verse from Numbers. You see on these pictures the missiles. You see on this picture an umbrella. And this is the Polish flag. White and the red. You see the lonely mom, three children, no husband, no man next to her. And you see beautiful camp, Zakościele, a river. And we're riverfront as a camp. Trees around, beautiful trees. And you see the aeroplane. The dream and desire to get out from this situation, the war situation and everything, what is so tough for them, and dreaming about the freedom. And you see a girl with a stream of tears, just missing what they left there in Ukraine and not knowing what will be the next. I tell you, this picture moves me to the tears whenever I look at this, because I see Vlad and Ala, and I see these 8 kids, knowing them by names. They went to Germany. Just the next day after that, they call us. Mau, we have a home. Not only that, you know, they took us to the shop. They let us to buy the beds and food and everything, and looks like, you know, 2 days from now, the Vlad said they will be in a school, in German school. And they are there. They were thinking about the Canada, but it didn't happen. Germany, I guess it was a plan. And it's a long story about Vlad, because Vlad's father grandfather, actually, during the Second World War, was taken as a slave to work in Germany during this year of the war. And he, after the liberation, you know, he returned to Ukraine. And of course, Vlad was born there. And now they are in Germany, and the Germans are helping this beautiful family. Many other families like that, you know, Mariupol. The first, you know, Mariupol, it was one of those most suffering city at the beginning of the war during this year. Bunkers, they were sitting there in these bunkers. And they, there was a time when for 2 hours they make this corridor, you know, the time for them to get out from these bunkers, for especially for women and the ladies and the children. Next one day in the morning, I see among the group the three new people, you know, a grandma, daughter, and a granddaughter, like 70, 40, and 12, and 15. I said, oh, good to have you with us. Thanks for coming. She said, thank you for having us. Where are you from? We are from Mariupol. We're from Mariupol. How did you get out from this place? Oh, she said, we were sitting in the bunker for 35 days without anything, any food, any water, anything like that. For a few days it was. And I said, that must be horrible, you know. And she said, it was. Little children, babies actually, like, you know, 6, 8 months babies were dying on my hands because of dehydration, because there was no water nor food. Their granddaughter survived because she was 12. And she came, and I said, I'm sorry I'm asking such a question. It must be very hard on you to say. I said, no, you understand. I understand this question, but we are free. We are here with you. And where would you like to go? I said. She said, you tell me. A few days later, they got a phone call from Switzerland. And they said, we're ready for one family. Do you have somebody? I said, sure. So this lady with the daughter and granddaughter, she's in Switzerland because of the goodness of the people there. So the story is like that, you know. And I pick up the young guy, who actually twins, from the bus station. They came to us, escaping the Ukraine. And I said, you're 22. How comes they get you out from the Ukraine? The one guy said, well, because I was wounded and was almost shut down in the war. And they, because I'm, you know, like that, I have to need to go to the process of healing, you know, it's hospitals, etc. They let us out. How it happened? He said, I was in the car, 5 of us, driver, my mom, 2 friends on the sides, and I was in the middle, he's saying. Well, they, you know, there was one soldier, you know, Russian soldier, just jumped into the road and just machine gun, windshield, car, everybody killed except this guy. I said, how did you survive? He said, I was holding a dog on my arm, and the bullet just hit the dog skull and just got across my shoulder. Another bullet just touched me on my side, so I was bleeding like others. My mom got killed, driver got killed, everybody on the side. When the soldiers look inside, they said, ah, Pomerli, they're dead, they're nothing to do. So after a while, he came back to the senses, and they already left. I mean, the soldiers already left, so he walked out from the car, took his mom and buried her next in the ditch next to this road, covered with the dirt, just to protect her from the animals or from the something. Can you imagine a situation like that? I mean, what to say? How you minister to the people like that? How you talk to the people like that? I'm watching the clock, you know, it's going, it's ticking so too fast. And then, you know, first 3 months, we did have them, all these refugees, over 1,000 of them in our camp. And then April, May was at hand, and said, what will we do? We're praying to God, you know, what will we do right now when they were still in our camp and campers are at hand? Well, there was an advertisement at the local newspaper that the owner of the hotel in the city is going to sell this hotel. He said, well, we don't have money to buy the hotel. So, but we approached him and said, sir, would you like to rent it to us? And we'll pay the fee, monthly fee, and you can make some business. And then, no, my hotel is doing well. I'm not interested in renting this place. And later on, I will have to renovate. And I said, we will renovate that. We'll take care of it after the Ukrainians will move out. No. If you have money, I can sell you tomorrow. Well, okay, so we went back, start praying, and just sent a newsletter. We're having something, what we call As It Happened, a kind of the 1.5 minute information about Pro-Am and what we are doing. So I just stand outside this hotel, and I said, I'm standing in this place. It could be the Family Crisis Center for the Nations. That's how we call this place now, today. But the Ukrainians such a huge needs, and we need to relocate them from the camp. We all believe in miracles because we are Christians. But sometime, you know, the for some reason, God is making us to wait longer than or shorter. You know, when we were raising money for a camp, it took us 10 years to raise funds for a camp and to renovate camp and everything what is there. Then I didn't tell you that we are in education as well. So just a short info about education. Starting small with 26 kids. This year we have over 500 kids, preschool, elementary, and high school. And the great outreach in the city where we are located. We were raising funds and taking a loan, thanks to Stan and others. 4 years it took us to pay off, to build this school. We sent this video and called to some friends about the hotel. Took us 8 weeks to raise $2.5 million to buy this hotel. Well, you know, this is the miracle. You can see some of our information and read about that in our annual reports. We have an office here, and Stan is the chairman of the board here in this area, and we are tax deductible, and everything is in place financially, part of the ECFA for the financial reasons. Money came. At last days of May, I just called this gentleman and said, we have money in place. He said, I'm ready. So last day of May, we're sitting by the notary public signing up the contract, and he gave me a key after we signed up the wire money for this hotel. So, and then we returned to the camp with the refugees there, and I said, guys, today is your last day at the camp. Tomorrow morning it will be your exodus. So behave like Israelites did, you know, Egypt. Take what you need from the camp. If you need anything, just take it. And because tomorrow we will drive you to the hotel. So next day morning, they were packed. We loaded up the vans, ate breakfast there at the camp property, and then we go to the hotel. Lunch in hotel. And we have a short video for you to show how the one day of Ukrainian looks like in the hotel. For us, it was such a miracle, you know, to go. Hotel was ready. It was not like abandoned or anything like that. It was a functioning. Bed, rooms, clean, kitchen operating, reception, and everything was like just about. Not about, ready, because, you know, we fixed the meal and we eat the lunch with them there in the hotel. And in this, in the hotel, we ready? Okay, so if you're ready, so let's see, the picture speaks 1,000 words, okay.
Dobrze.
Господь благодарит нас и подаровал нам это место. А место для нас, для вас, для вас, для нас, для других людей, которые будут нужны, окружающие нас.
My name is Sergey Kavetsky and here's my wife Ira.
Меня зовут Олег. Мене звати Вадим. Моя дружина Ірина. Це наші діти.
Мене звати Тетяна.
Мене звати Віталій.
Мусили виїхати з України, тому що як почалася війна, ракети прилітали в різні міста, і в наше місто.
У мене склалася досить важка ситуація. Мою маму били російські солдати, брата також розстріляли.
Подзвонили і сказали, ви мусите виїхати, тому що вам буде вашій сім'ї дуже велике горе. Вони заарестовують, у них битки там проводять.
I start a day early and before breakfast I try to catch a couple hours to work. Then we have breakfast.
После завтрака обычно некоторые люди на работу идут, а некоторым людям приходится помогать. Кого-то нужно отвезти, готовить какие-то документы, или в больницу надо поехать, или же в банк.
Я
зі своєї сторони намагаюся допомогти людям, оскільки трошки володію польською мовою, допомогти з оформленням документів, там, в лоті відвозити, наприклад, документи для навчання дітям, хто потребує цього таким чином.
До нас приїжджали американці, які з нами працювали психологічно, вони нам дуже допомагали. Ми розказували свої проблеми, вони з нами ділилися, вони нас підтримували. Волонтери біля нього ходили, допомагали, щоб мене чуть-чуть розгрузили, допомагали його водити. На візочку катали, я навіть його не катала, щоб мені було дуже роздихнути, щоб я трошечки могла розслабитися.
Обід у нас із часу до двох. Після обіду у нас теж какие-то, в общем, дела у людей.
After lunch we try to do some work. Once in a while we try to pitch the working hours to do some online translation.
Вечером у нас 6 часов ужин. После ужина я готовлюсь к библейской группе. И где-то полтора часа мы проводим здесь чтение Библии, общение библейское. И, конечно же, мы молимся. Молимся за Украину, чтобы поскорее война прекратилась. И также мы благодарим за польский народ, который открыли свои сердца, свои двери своих домов и помогает нам быть и как жить дальше.
Так, мы дуже вдячні за те, що люди турбуються про нас, про людей з України, і ми дуже вдячні за те, що маємо можливість де бути в безпечному місці.
Все дуже мені тут добре. Я тут знаходжуся як в раю. Я вам скажу, що дуже гарно. Це місце рай. Прем і Томашова готель, це місце рай, тому що тут дуже все для нас. От все для нас, розумієте, все для нас. Для моєї дитини, умови. Все дуже вдячна. Низький вам уклін усім, дуже кланяюсь усім польським. Друзьям американським, всьому Євросоюзу, всім польському народу. Дуже добре.
Як вона, мене ім'я?
Таня.
Дякую велике.
Таня, цей час є спереду.
Таня is still in Poland, the lady you've seen this last one. This is a cultural for them to do like that, you know. They are not bowing before us, but they're just saying thank you to God, first of all. And Tanya's son is cerebral palsy. He is from the birth on the wheelchair. They came first week of the war, they're still with us. Because there is no place for them to go. Couldn't find a place in Poland for them. It's hard on them. And one family we've seen there, couple families we've seen them there already. One family is in San Francisco, another is just somewhere in Canada. Another are waiting for this U4U visa, one-way visas which your government is giving to children. You've seen the children. They are in our school. And that's so good to have a school because they could be there. Psychological help. You know, we have a counselors. We have a counseling center. We did have some people from the States coming. We can help you to, you know, to help people to go to this trauma. Yes. If you would like to come our way to help them, to sit next to them, just to listen. You know, because I am very much for helping, you know, to drive, to go with the food there, you know, trucks, semis, we still do it. But you go there for a few hours and you're coming back. Of course, you relate to the people. But if you sit down and you have somebody 24/7 and they open up your heart, their hearts with you, you can really minister to them. So if you feel like God is moving you this direction to help and to come and, you know, minister for a week for life to Prem, we would love to see you there every day at 7 o'clock. You know, Oleg, the pastor from Kherson, this one with 3 cars, ended up with 2 in Poland. After a few months, he was doing himself. Every day, 7 o'clock Bible hour for everybody. And we don't take only Christians, of course, to our refugee place. We just open for whoever needs to be helped. One day he came to me, he said, "Mawe, I feel like God is moving me back to Kherson." And he drove back with his wife to Kherson, and his daughter, the youngest one, is 15. So he gave us power of attorney to take care of her when she is at our school and in our place. Another gentleman who speaks good English, you notice that. He is a professional translator from Ukraine, English, and now he's Polish because he is good in Polish as well. 2 months ago, he was in his hotel. 2 months ago, he came to me. He said, "I was approached by the U.S. military army, and they asked me if I could be a translator for American troops, training Ukrainian troops how to use some of your, you know, Patriots and tanks, Abrams, and some of these things." I said, "Really, you know?" And so he went there in Poland, in one of the places. He is there translating for Ukrainians, you know, and helping there. Stories, you know, stories after stories. You know, if you have some questions, feel free, because I know there is a couple, five more minutes, I guess, to stay. Don't hesitate to do it. But, you know, this is the day in our hotel is like that. You know, these people who are there, and children, parents, whoever stay with us, they don't pay because of the generosity of the people like you are. Support, and they don't have money to pay for it, because some of them, they don't have a job, you know, they came with something what they did have. Stan was telling that at the beginning of the war, when they came to Poland, they brought their money in the pockets. They tried to exchange this money, but they were worthless. Banks didn't exchange them. The hryvnias is the money in Ukraine, and they said, "What we should do?" So what we were doing, we were just collecting, taking this money from them and giving them equivalent of your money, dollars, just for their dignity. They need to have something, you know, but can you imagine your life saving? You're going to Guatemala, whatever the country, and there is worthless. I mean, hard to imagine that. So we're taking this money, giving them dollars, and we're sending this money back with the trucks to Ukraine, because in Ukraine, their money were still good. They were paying with this money, so they didn't, I mean, they didn't lose in the fact that money were still used. So, we don't charge them, there is for free, and we don't know for how long it's going to be, because we are, you know, support-based mission. And hope we are pretty good for the next few months, thanks to your generosity, but we're raising funds to make this hotel operate. So for you to know, if you ask me, you know, the numbers, it cost us for this 50, 60 people, $1,000 a day. So this is for everything, food and the heating system and taking care of it, the laundry and everything. So it's $7,000 a week and $30,000 a month. And a year, 360, you know, 8,000. I just don't know how we're doing that, but with the God's grace, we are doing this already 18 months, and you know, hopefully it will stay like that. Every, you know, we helping, yes, thank you, honey. We helping Ukrainians who are in the hotel, of course, but in the city of the 70,000 people, where we have school, church, and hotel, they are saying around 4,000 or 5,000 refugees from Ukraine. So we said we need to do something for them. Well, make a long story short, on Saturday morning between 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock, we open up for the city kids, not the hotel, but from the city, those who are inhabitants of the city, we open up Ukrainian club. And they're coming 70 or 80 kids every Saturday between 10 and 1 o'clock. They're coming for the Christian program. We do like, you know, for kids, you do some skits and lesson and games. And it always is included the Bible lesson and the Bible teaching. So it's a great connection with the city through social media. We just place this in the social media. And first shot, what we've done, it was before the Christmas last year. We were thinking few people will come. So there was a couple hundred kids sign up and 100 parents. So we divided for two, the group for two, because we couldn't have at once. We didn't have such a big place capacity-wise. So I know our time is just about over. Just I would appreciate your prayers. And if you'd like to chat or talk more, we're ready. Stan is there, Eva, and there's some information on your tail. Thank you very much for your attention. And you... So, thank you very much. Appreciate and your time, and hope to see you in Poland, some of you, just to spend some time like others did. Talk to Jane. Talk to Sandy, you know, and come over. God bless you, and thank you very much.